and we're ready to blow the trumpet. Oh, no, we're not. We got to put up the study. Is that it? There it is. Well, Shabbat Shalom. It's nice to be here. I got my winter attire on because it's 17 degrees. And truth of the matter is I forgot my coat. But anyway, here we are. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabad Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And this is 2017, I believe, the first study. And we're just a little piece of the Israel of God. Thank you for being here. We're at 27 South Maple Street, Hohenwald, Tennessee. That's Holden Vault. There's our phone numbers. There's our email. I mean, our website. You can always email me if you have a question. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day and this Sabbath teaching. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, knowing you see everything, you watch everything, you hear everything, you know everything. Forgive us any sin, any blemish, any spot. We don't sin presumptuously or willfully, which amazes people, Father, which we don't understand that. Who would want to sin presumptuously? Bless and anoint this day. Bless the study. Let it be helpful for everyone. Let it be fruitful. We got to pray, Lord and God, that you'll bind every enemy of the gospel of Yeshua, the living God, the Word of God made flesh. A lot of people are falling away to these anti-missionaries and Judaism and Karaites and all this type of thing. I pray you'll stop them, Lord and God, or give people understanding, discernment of your word. Heavenly Father, bless this day. Protect us, put a wall of fire around and about us. Caution us from any evil. Heal those that need healing in their bodies, in their souls, in their minds. I pray, Lord and God, you'll bless everything today on your holy Sabbath. And we thank God for the blood of Yeshua, for the word of God, and for the eternal life. That's what it's all about. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, it's nice to be here today. We had a little bit of snow, which is just about gone in the streets. But it looks nice around on some of the properties. It makes things white and shiny in the sun. Of course, Monday will be back to 50 degrees, 50-something, and rain. But you never know by Monday. Anyway, my ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that probably never been discussed in your life or mentioned. And now that we mention them, you probably think, wow, you might have think you heard of this your whole life, but you haven't. So this go back to the first time you showed up here, where you maybe never heard God had a calendar. God has feasts. God has a Sabbath. Anyway, I'd like to undelete some of these things for you. My website seems to be running proper back there. The video's not running, huh? That's strange because I have put in the actual IP. I could verify that real quick. I'll show you just to verify it. And I'll just go right here, go here, and go down here. Oh, it's gone. How could that be? That's strange. I wonder where it went. I know I put it in. That's strange. That's really strange. Seriously. I wonder if this is going to knock me off the net.
It's not 2, is it? It's not 2-6, is it? That's the same. So you got 2.6.
I keep putting, yeah, I keep putting 1. I wonder what's going on here. Says that gives me an error, so forget that. I guess we won't be able to stream today.
No, and you better take it out.
Yeah, I'll just leave it as is. So I'll just cancel everything. Sorry about that, everyone. We'll have to figure out why that's happening. Anyway, my server's running back there. You could view all that. I'm still on PowTalk, right? We've got to figure out why this is happening. Something changed. Maybe Charter changed the... maybe they changed their address. Anyway, everything's running properly, so you could always read the text, watch the video later. You could watch the audio. And you could make sure you go to my website, oneofmessiah.net, which is very important. You could read them, too, if you prefer. Let's see here. You could even download them to MP3 players. We're not streaming for some reason. And... can't figure out why. Anyway, today we use the Gregorian calendar. Today is January 7, 2017, the first study of the year, of the Gregorian year. And there's January, Janus's month. There's Janus, the Roman god of gates and doorways, depicted with two faces looking in opposite directions. This is all about Janus. That's why it's named January. A lot of people don't even know that, you know. They just think it's January. But we always ask, where did that come from? You know? Anyway, Jehovah has his own calendar. We're in the 10th month of God called Tevet, the 8th day. And that's found in Esther. We could prove that. There it is. And some people say it means goodness, Tevet. It's part of our Gregorian January and February. Well, this subject today... is seems like to us it's elementary. God was manifested in the flesh, and that's Yeshua, the Word of God made flesh. And that sounds very simple. But we have even intellectual people coming here, and they don't even believe Yeshua is the Word of God made flesh. He's not God. He's just, some people say he's the Messiah. Some people say he's not the Messiah. You know, and we're going to do a little study today and show from whence a lot of these people's thoughts come from. This study came about as I hear many people are being deceived today by anti-missionaries with their fake Hebrew facade. You know, everybody's trying to do this Hebrew. They know the Hebrew. And they went to the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And they speak Hebrew. That doesn't mean anything. And they try to befriend you. They say that they know more accurately what the scriptures say, which is not true. If this was true, you always have to ask this question. If that was true, then why would they not have, they would have not missed the hundreds of prophecies pertaining to the Messiah in the Hebrew scriptures, right? I mean, there's hundreds of them. Scripture is very clear that Yeshua is the Messiah and his shed blood is the only atonement for sin today and forever. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, if you don't know that, then... you lose, you know, in simple terminology. There are no more sacrifices for sin to be performed today or in the future, and anti-missionaries, Karaites, have no sacrifice for sin until they repent and accept the only true Messiah, Yeshua, and his shed blood. And that's just the bottom line, and that's the way we see it, even pertaining to the scriptures. Without Yeshua, you have no atonement. So make sure, you know, you should all know that. I smell a rat. Dressed up as your brother or sister. Might sound funny, but I could have put what Yeshua said. You know, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. But I smell a rat. You know, they're dressed up as your brother and sister, and they want to come and teach you their Hebrew roots from Judaism or from Karaitism. Yeshua is not a Karaite, which some people are going around saying. Nor is he a Sadducee, which is ridiculous. Some people believe in this nonsense and losing their souls, you know. We even had a guy come here last week that thought that. Now, this is reworked from the internet. I reworked this. Karaites erroneously trace their origin to the Sadducees, which is ridiculous. Some Karaites explicitly subvert the biblical teachings on who Yeshua was, the Word of God made flesh, and are covertly, you know, they're stealthily leading believers in Yeshua the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh, away from their true faith. You know, even in the pseudo-false religions out there, I'm talking about the Protestants, even they know that, I'll say it the way they say it, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. But now a lot of those people that left that, and they think they found the Hebrew roots, and now they're trying to find all these other characters, they're forsaking even the simplicity of that. Some Karaites are devoted students of the Karaite teacher, Mordecai Alfandeah, I don't know how to say his name, but listen to this. These Karaites they're very vocal anti-missionaries. They're anti-missionary. A Jewish leader who seeks to undermine believers in Yeshua and draws Jewish people away from belief in Yeshua as the Messiah, the Word that God made in the flesh. And he's also doing that now. They're also doing it now to Gentile believers. Being raised as Orthodox in Karaite Judaism, or Judaism itself, does not merit the only salvation in Messiah shed blood. Of course not. Being a prominent promoter of Karaitism does not merit the only salvation in Messiah shed blood. Holding a master's degree in biblical studies from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem does not merit the only salvation in Messiah shed blood. Speaking Hebrew or translating Hebrew does not merit the only salvation in Messiah shed blood. Authoring or co-authoring books on Yeshua and openly rejecting Yeshua as the Messiah does not merit the only salvation in Yeshua's shed blood. Having affiliations with Messianic Jews and with other Christian groups with some pre-existing affinity toward Jewish identity and practice does not merit the only salvation in Yeshua's shed blood. Right? Some Karaites undermine the authority and reliability of the Gospels and letters as we have them today and seek to promote the idea that Yeshua was in fact a sort of proto-Karaite whose real message was simply that people should obey the law of Moses while rejecting the orally human traditions of the Pharisees, which is ridiculous. If you read the Gospels, I mean, Yeshua rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the sages, I mean, the, not sages, the scribes. As so many people before have their motives, so many people today have their motives and are still polluting the Word of God. While looking for the real, they say, while looking for the real historical Yeshua that is hidden from us, from us, Gospels and letters, in the Gospels and letters, they say, they find a Yeshua that instead looks an awful lot like a Karaite or whatever they make up today. People are actually saying this, whether you know it or not. They're actually doing their little, it's always hidden. You ever notice they're always doing something that's hidden? As you see, when their assumptions are in error, so their conclusions will also be in error. That's something to really remember. You know, just because somebody assumes something or has assumptions or their premise, that doesn't, if it's inaccurate, obviously the conclusion is going to be inaccurate. We always find our answers in the underlying text that they are using from their study, the secret Hebrew original, they say, not. And that's pretty funny when they say that. They always have the secret Hebrew. They all, they always want to come and teach you Hebrew. And then we got the Hebrew Matthew, the real Yeshua. You know, all the Gospels and letters, they were provable. They were written in Koine Greek. And there was one Matthew that we'll read about today, which they found some traces of a Hebrew Matthew, which is very erroneous and very corrupt. I mean, seriously, and I'll show you why. Here's some of the things they claim. They claim the 14th century Jewish physician in Spain named Shem Tov published a work in Hebrew presenting arguments against Roman Catholicism. In this work, he quoted from Matthew in Hebrew. That might be true, but is it true? The question you should have is, was that an accurate version? Another thing they say, a study was published by an associate professor of religion at the University of Georgia named George Howard, claiming that the text of Matthew quoted by Shem Tov was written originally in Hebrew and goes back very early in the church history. You'd have to verify if that's even true, right? The early church writer Papias claimed that Matthew was originally written in Hebrew and was translated badly into Greek and other languages. How could we prove that? I mean, there's no way to prove this today. This is just things you might read. So again, that's spurious. It's you can't verify it. Shem Tov's text shows signs of corruption, where people attempt over the years to change it to fit the Greek text. So anywhere it agrees with the Greek, we can assume it is a corruption in the text. But anywhere it disagrees with the Greek may be the Hebrew original of Matthew, and so should be preferred to the traditional New Testament reading. These are all the things that they bring up, which are all erroneous arguments, because none of this is provable. You can't verify none of this. You could say that, and you know, whatever you make up and say it with a uniform on. Therefore, we should use the medieval Hebrew text to reinterpret the words of Yeshua and see him in the new light. You think so? I don't. These are some of the things that they bring up. No. So, just to show you how ridiculous even those questions or those statements are, information below was taken from a friend of ours, Richard Rees, Too Long and His Son website. He knows a lot about idols and all that type of thing. You can go there if you like. It's a very good website. The Hebrew Matthew, the Shem Tov Du Tittle Munster, and this is on my website too. Are we to believe and trust these references by Origen and his student Eusebius? I don't think so. If you know who they are, look who they are. Go look them up. It was Origen who, deceived by education and philosophy, who, upon receipt of pure copies of Scripture, altered them to parallel his twisted thinking. And if you notice, a lot of these researchers have done that in the past. When they had a thought or something in their mind, they rewrote the manuscripts to blend into their thoughts. He's the father of all biblical critics and is not only responsible for the physical manuscripts which delete such verses as Luke 24:40, Acts 8:37, and 1 John 5:7, but he is also responsible for the Alexandrian philosophy parodied by so many of our fundamental scholars who claim that the Bible is perfect and infallible with one breath, and then state the Bible has mistakes and mistranslations with the very next. It is this demented ideology that gave birth to the corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts in the first place. The reason why I'm doing this, a lot of people, you have to have a little bit of this understanding to even talk to some certain people, you know? And having learned by tradition concerning the four Gospels, which alone are unquestionable in the Church of God under heaven, the first was written according to Matthew, who was once a tax collector, but afterwards an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, who published it for those who from Judaism came to believe, composed it as it was in Hebrew language. And this is what Origen says. Yeah, so the question is, where is all this Hebrew Gospels? They've never been discovered. Matthew collected the oracles in the Hebrew language and each interpreted them as best he could. That's another thing that you can't know if that's true. That's Eusebius and Papias, you know, and there's his little, you know, citations there. Beware of those who present the Shem Tov version of Matthew as an accurate representation of a manuscript. Many believers in Messiah Yeshua are being led away, by unbelievers to accept an unscriptural version of pseudo-Hebrew Matthew, which was found as part of a polemic document entitled Eben Bohan. Polemic, that word polemic means something that's controversial, you know, something that's debatable. This document was authored by Shem Tov, an unbelieving Jewish theologian. So how could you trust him? Many unbelievers are going around the country promoting this trash. Remember, we don't have an early copy of Shem Tov's work. So that's ridiculous, first of all. Okay? But, quoting Professor George Howard, translation of the Shem Tov, Translator of the Shem Tov, excuse me. In regard to theology, Shem Tov's Hebrew Matthew is heretical according to the standard of traditional Christianity, you know, even that. It never identifies Yeshua with the Messiah. Did you know that? John the Baptist is given an exalted role, even takes on messianic traits. Shem Tov's text envisions the salvation of the Gentiles only in the messianic era, whatever that means. Yeah. Shem Tov, by the way, this Shem Tov character, he's from 1385. He's from Spain. He wrote a polemic work against Christianity entitled that Eben Bohan, the Touchstone, that's what that means. Matthew is a separate chapter of Eben Bohan. A cursive manuscript of Eben Bohan can be found at the Jewish Theological Seminary of America in New York. You can go check it out. And if you go to a Jewish Theological Seminary, you think you're going to find Yeshua is the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh? Probably not. If you don't know who Du Tittel is, his name is Jean Du Tittel. He's a Catholic bishop in France from a manuscript. And he got this manuscript found in Rome about among the Jews in 1553. Matter of fact, this is used by the Jehovah Witnesses. And James Trim is some guy from the past. He translated Du Tittel, so you can't really trust him either. And then we have this guy Munster. You probably heard of the word Munster. And that's Sebastian Munster, 1537, confiscated from the Jews. Some think Munster and Du Tittel to be from the same source. Munster filled in missing portions and made no notes as to which part he added. Isn't that nice of him? What do you think of that? That's how much they care about the Word of God. Remember those verses where it says you're not supposed to add to the Word of God or change the Word of God? Shem Tov and Du Tittel are different texts. Shem Tov and Du Tillet are different texts. They don't even agree. Munster disagrees with the Shem Tov. Check this out. They do not always agree with Jerome speaks of a Hebrew Matthew among the Nazarenes in Jordan who fled Jerusalem. Jerome quotes that text and Professor George Howard, who translated Shem Tov, says that Jerome's quotes do not match the Shem Tov. The Epiphanius quotes Ebionite Hebrew Matthew. His quotes do not match the Shem Tov. The tetragrammation, which is the Yud Heh Vav Heh, does not appear in the Shem Tov or the Du Tillet. In Shem Tov, it is written as Hey or Hey, or I don't know what that is, and two Yud, signifying Shem Tov, Hashem, or the name. So they, you know, that's Judaism right off the bat. In Du Tillet, is written with three Yuds. Anyway, just to show you what I'm talking about, that might also sound a little confusing to you. Scriptural differences between Shem Tov and the Greek majority text as represented in the English King James Version of the Bible, which we read, okay? Notice how everything's compared to the King James Version. Now, the Shem Tov never identifies Yeshua as the Messiah. Remember that. And there's people that even show up today. They don't believe he's the Messiah, and they're still waiting for the coming of the Messiah or the Messianic Age or the Davidic Age, however they word it to you. Listen to the way they change this. Our Bible says the generation of Jesus the Christ, or Jesus Christ, right? Shem Tov says the generation of Jesus. Who's that? That could be a Spanish guy, Jesus. You know? Who's he? They never identified Jesus as the Messiah. Matthew 1:18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ, in our English Bible, which is Jesus the Christ, Shem Tov says, now the birth of Jesus. Who's he? They take away that he's the Messiah. The fact that Yeshua shall save his people is omitted. Could you imagine that? Our Bible says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Shem Tov says, he shall save my people from their sins. I mean, that's totally different. Non-biblical rabbinical references. Matthew 4:9. All these things will I give if thou will fall down and worship me. That's what our Bible says. The Shem Tov says, if you bear your head to me. I don't know. Jewish sages give an equal status with Yeshua. Our Bible says he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Their Bible says preaching with great power, not as the rest of the sages. There's no sages in the Bible. There was this the scribes and the Pharisees. You notice how they throw in the Judaism things. There were no sages. Reference to the coming kingdom removed. Our Bible says, thy kingdom come. Shem Tov says, may your kingdom be blessed. It's not coming anymore. And then people try to use this Hebrew Matthew, which is the Shem Tov, do till it. And that's to show you how corrupt it is. That's the people that come here. And we got people trying to quote it. But if you know these verses, forgiveness of sin by Yeshua removed. Our Bible says, thy sins be forgiven thee. Shem Tov says, it is by faith of God that your sins have been forgiven. In other words, Yeshua didn't do it. In other words, who needs Yeshua? We can just go to some other God. Right. He's not God. The gospel set aside. Our Bible says, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Shem Tov says, the poor are acquitted. Yeah, but what happened to the gospel being preached to them? This one's really bad. The elevation of John the Baptist over Yeshua. Matthew 11:11 and 11:13, our Bible says, for all the prophets and the law spoke concerning John as opposed prophesied unto John. It talks about prophesying unto John. This says, because John came to you in the way of righteousness and you did not believe him. John came to you. The first one was talking about all the prophets prophesied unto John. It's talking about the Messiah. That's what we're talking about, but that's left out in their Bible. In the Shem Tov addresses the disciples instead of the chief priests and elders. Quoting Professor George Howard, translator of the Shem Tov, in summary, these series of readings asserts that none is greater than John. The prophets and the law spoke concerning John.
It was until John.
Yeah. They didn't write the right verse, right? John, Elijah's to save all the world, and Jesus' own disciples are disgraced from not believing, having believed John. See how they twist everything? You understand? Like they're elevating John the Baptist over Jesus. It's ridiculous. In traditional Christianity, such a deception is usually applied to Scripture. In traditional Protestant and Catholic stuff, and of course us, such a description is usually applied to Jesus, Yeshua, that he's the one. Its application to John the Baptist in the Shem Tov's Hebrew elevates the Baptist to be a salvation role, to have a salvation role. John the Baptist, he's the forerunner of Yeshua. I mean, he's even prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40 and different places. And he's not, you're right. He said he wasn't even fit to tie his shoelaces. Remember that? The temple greater than Yeshua. Is that true?
No.
Our Bible says, but I say unto you, in this place is one greater than the temple. Means Yeshua. Shem Tov says the temple is the greater than this. Yeah. That's why this is such a pollution, this Shem Tov Hebrew do-till-it. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. That's what our Bible says. Shem Tov says, to know the kingdom of heaven. That's all it says. Man sows seed instead of the Son of Man. Well, that's ridiculous. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Means talking about Yeshua. Shem Tov says, the one who sows good seed is man. That's totally ridiculous. Try to figure this out. I mean, and people think this is a good version. Possible Talmudic influences. Toldot Yeshua. Matthew 13:55, it says, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Their Bible says, is this not the son of the smith and Mary? James is left out as brother of Yeshua in the Shem Tov. Possible elevation of James. Possible. In the Shem Tov, it says, in Shem Tov, Herod's daughter danced, not Herodias' daughter. That's ridiculous. Quorum scrolls condemn nice marriages. Jewish leaders of the time practiced it. Possible Talmudic influence. Doctrine of the Pharisees questioned. Told to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees, right? Shem Tov says, beware of the behavior of the Pharisees. Not the behavior, the doctrine. We don't care if the guy's smiling or if he's in a bad mood. We're talking about his doctrine. Salvation by Elijah rather than Yeshua? Our Bible says Elijah shall truly first come and restore all things. Shem Tov says Elijah will come and save all the world. That makes Elijah and John the Baptist higher than Yeshua. See how satanic this is? But people have the nerve to quote this. I don't think they've done the comparison. Plus, you know, there's only a little piece of this Hebrew Matthew, which is very erroneous. They never talk about Luke, you know, Mark, and John, the other Gospels.
That's because if they get proof that Matthew's corrupt, they don't believe any of it.
And in other words, those were all written in Koine Greek, and so is Matthew. And there was 5,500 Greek manuscripts translated by over 50, 60 people. There was no collusion. But you have to know these kind of things. But most people don't know these, and they just fall for the guy speaking Hebrew or singing a Hebrew song. And then let me teach you the real meaning of this, which is really a Hebrew wolf in sheep's clothing. Yeah. Now, we're not against Hebrew. We're against people using that as a tool to trick you.
That's right.
We're using that as people that use it, you know. Salvation, by the way, of the Son of Man deleted. And the Son of Man is Yeshua we're talking about. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. We're talking about Yeshua. Shem Tov says the Son of Man has stopped saving the enemy. I mean, you know, think about that. You can't verify that anywhere. Possible Talmudic implications. Matthew 18:18, our Bible says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Shem Tov applies this scripture to being bound or loosed from oaths taken, Day of Atonement, Kol Nidre prayer, implications. It's ridiculous. Kol Nidre means all vows, which is ridiculous. This has nothing to do with Judaism. This is to show you when people don't have biblical, God-given understanding or God-given discernment, and they can't discern that this is totally erroneous and corrupt. Shem Tov says, every oath which you shall bind on earth is bound in heaven. Every oath which you shall loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Worldly material rather than heavenly treasure. This is just Matthew 22. It says, went away sorrowing, for he had great possessions. Remember the guy? Shem Tov says, he went away angry because he did not have much property. That's the opposite. Is that the opposite or not? This, and people want to... You think you should trust this Hebrew Munster? read your. It's yeah, it's like a monster.
Blessed Tony doesn't match the prophecies.
It doesn't match nothing. It matches nothing.
Yeah.
Even all these people, all their text and all their writings don't match each other. Matthew 19:28, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his kingdom, the throne of his glory, when man sit, this, that they took away Yeshua. It says, when man sits upon the throne of his glory. Man? I don't think so. Son of Man, we're talking about Yeshua, the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh. That's pretty satanic right there. Matthew 20:30 says, when they heard Yeshua pass by, the next one says, the prophet Jesus from Nazareth is coming. They took away the Messiah. They made him a prophet. The preaching of the gospel as a witness concerning Yeshua is Antichrist, and this is the abomination which makes desolate. Matthew 24 says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso will read it, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, into the mountains. Shem Tov says, and this gospel, that is, whatever that is, even Gili, will be preached unto all the earth for a witness concerning me to all the nations, and then the end will come. What does that even mean? There's no more abomination of desolation. There's no more Antichrist. That's over. That's why some people don't even talk about that no more. Most people don't, actually. They don't talk about the abomination that makes desolate or nothing. This is the Antichrist, and this is the abomination which makes desolate. Then those who are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. That's ridiculous. Son of Man replaced by the bridegroom. Matthew 25:13, a portion of that says, day, not the hour when the Son of Man comes. Shem Tov, day nor hour when the bridegroom comes. That's ridiculous. Matthew 26:2, the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Shem Tov, delivered into the hands of the Jews for the gallows. It wasn't just the Jews, it was everybody. It was Herod, the Gentiles, you know, and the people of Israel. Remember that in Acts? Matthew 27:23, let him be crucified. Shem Tov, let them hang him. Hanging is different than crucified. You guys all know that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
There's no bloodshed when you're hung.
When you're hung, you don't shed any blood that I know of. You just suffocate. Matthew 27:31, let him away to be crucified. Shem Tov gave orders to hang him. They're taking away the whole crucifixion, the whole Isaiah 53, that he shed his blood for our sins. That's really satanic, if you really think about it.
They're all very satanic.
The cross is the parenthesis, as it is needed to be connected with the word gallows. Matthew 27:32, him they compelled to bear his cross. Shem Tov, compelling him to carry the gallows, that is the cross. I don't know. Matthew 27:40 says, come down from the cross. Shem Tov, come down from the gallows. Come down from the tree. That's like, climb the tree? Matthew says, you seek Jesus who was crucified. Shem Tov, Jesus who was hung. That's really satanic. That takes away the whole salvation issue. Because if he's just hung, what's that good for? That would not be pointing to any of the blood animals that shed their blood. The blood sacrifices, the lamb, all the lambs and the bullocks. Yeah, they could have just hung the animals. Not the King of the Jews, but the King of Israel. Our Bible says this is Yeshua, the King of the Jews. Shem Tov says this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel. Now in Israel, there's all kinds of people that live there. Matthew 27:46 says with a loud voice, Shem Tov says in the holy language, Hebrew. They're trying to say it's Hebrew, I guess. Matthew 27:57, a rich man of Arimathea. Shem Tov, a rich man from Carnitia, came. His name was Joseph. What is that? Carnitia. I don't know. Got me. Yeshua says come as a child to make things simple and easy and the simplicity that's in the word. These people try to make things complicated, confusing, and convoluting, and just contradicting. And Matthew 27:59, when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Shem Tov, wrapped it in a very fine silk garment. What does it say that? You're not going to go out and buy yourself a Shem Tov Dutillet, Hebrew Munster. Shem Tov has Yeshua substituting Yahweh, Yud-Heh-W-Heh, with Hashem. That's Yud-Heh-V-Heh, with Hashem. Traditional Jews gathering rather than Greek-Roman gathering as it found in the Greek-Roman greetings as it's found in the majority manuscripts. Jesus met them saying, all hail, saying, Mary, the name delivered you. Shem Tov says, may the name deliver you. Our Bible says, Jesus met them saying, all hail. Shem Tov says, may the name deliver you. They use that in Satanism, the name, you know. Shem Tov has 12 disciples going to Galilee after Judas was dead. Our Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Shem Tov says, when his 12 disciples came to Galilee. They must have forgot one was died, Judas. Oh, Yeshua says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Left out. Oh, man. Could you imagine leaving that out? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Shem Tov. And teach them to carry out all the things which I have commanded you forever. He's not with you anymore. I think this is a very satanic text. Quoting Professor George Howard, translator of Shem Tov, in regards to theology, Shem Tov's Hebrew Matthew is heretical. I agree. According to the standard of traditional Christianity, I say it again, it never identifies Yeshua with the Messiah. John the Baptist is given an exalted role, even takes on messianic traits. Shem Tov's text envisions the salvation of the Gentiles only in the messianic era. If you just memorize those few things. So in closing, be aware of people's so-called biblical Hebrew credentials. Did you hear that? Be aware of that. As spiritual we are spiritual forensic biblical detectives. We are to prove all things, which we do at our congregation. We hold fast to that which is true. Simply put, throw the trash out. I mean, seriously, we have a whole library of things that are poison, and we even label them. These are garbage. This is poison. This is something you shouldn't read. Just think, there's even people in this town that say they're Torah observant, and they don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah anymore. Or they don't believe that Yeshua is the Word of God made flesh. I don't even know who died for them then. Why would he die for you? Man died for you?
Nobody.
They're waiting for him to come? Or they think that these Karaites and Judaism have salvation another strange way? And these are supposed to be Torah observant people. We had one guy say he don't even keep the Sabbath. He's waiting for the Lord of the Sabbath to come. I guess the Messiah. In Davidic messianic era, I bet he meant. And he's been tricked. And you could also listen to the way they talk. They talk very confusing and convoluting and very, well, you can't track where even the subject matter is. What are we talking about? Remember, Karaites still do not believe Yeshua to be the Messiah. Like all Karaites, they are in error and eagerly waiting the coming of the anointed Davidic king, who has come already. I mean, hello? Who will reign over king over Israel, ushering in an era of eternal peace. Then they try to quote Isaiah 11, Ezekiel 34, and Luke 1:32. To their knowledge, Yeshua has yet to fulfill the fundamental criterion of the Davidical Messiah. It's ridiculous. Don't trust any Karaites, because they don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah and that he's the Word of God made flesh. These people actually invite him to their house and teachings. They invite Karaites and people from Judaism, rabbis, to their teachings. Why? They don't even have salvation. They're actually Antichrist. They deny the Son. That means that they deny the Father. And if you don't have the Father or the Son, John says you're Antichrist. Why would, in the world would you invite them to your teachings? Or your studies? Or your home? Or your congregation? Or even the pseudo, I even asked this to the pseudo Protestants, why would you invite them to your church? To trick some of the people there? I mean, they're already tricked in being in pseudo Protestant stuff, but that even amplifies the whole issue. Remember, when the entire premise is flawed, so is the conclusion, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you got to know, just because somebody says, they have their postulates and their assumptions and their premise and they sound so educated. You have to know, wait a second, let's verify what you're saying is accurate. And then we'll try to get to some type of a conclusion if we can. You can't start with your own conclusion and then judge the so-called biblical sources you are using to tell whether or not they agree with your assumptions. That's what some people do. They go backwards. They make a conclusion, and then they go, let's see if that text agrees with what I think, or what I believe, or what I heard or read on the internet, or what some Karaite or person in Judaism told me. I mean, they do speak fluent Hebrew. They even live in Israel, and they went to a Jerusalem Hebrew university. How could I question them? They even do studies on the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they discovered, all that means peanuts when it comes to knowing Yeshua is the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh, and only through Him you can have salvation and eternal life. In Him is eternal life. In the Son. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Think of how Satan is tricking all these people through their intellectualism and all their ridiculous studies that they do. And that's what's going on in the world today. We hear it from California to Tennessee, and I'm sure it's happening in there or other states too. Some people, they even compare themselves among themselves. And if you compare yourselves among yourself, that's not wise. I mean, that's ridiculous. These people, especially when all their assumptions and premises are all in error. Paul tells us, here's what we're supposed to do. All scripture, not all these other doctrines, is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the person of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what are we supposed to use? Scripture. Yeah, and we don't go to external books or extra curriculum of in Hebrew. We got it. We already have it. People trying to find the secret writings under the rock they just discovered. It's ridiculous. By Yeshua's own authority, he taught. He didn't need anyone to give him authority. Something no mere Karaite calling people back to an older form of Torah observant could ever do. They don't have any authority to do nothing. Yeshua claimed to be the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh. Yeshua worked great miracles, rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and foretold of his future return. He was not a mere good teacher. Some people are turning him into a good teacher. Rabbi doesn't mean teacher, it means master. Yeshua was God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Yeshua was and is the Messiah, the Son of David, the Divine Son, the Word of Jehovah, made flesh, Lord of all things. not just of the nations or of one city. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No medieval translation, especially one like the Hebrew Matthew, Shem Tov Du Tillit, Munster, that is an error, can change that Yeshua, what Yeshua said or who Yeshua truly was, the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh. We read in the book of Isaiah, it says, therefore, Jehovah himself shall give you a sign. And it is a sign that a virgin, not just a girl, they turned it into a young maiden. That's not a sign. Every young maiden has babies. But a virgin would be a sign, an Alma, is going to conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And that's quoted also in Matthew. Behold, a virgin, not just a regular lady, okay? Because why would that be a sign if a woman had a child?
That's a miracle.
We're talking about a miracle. A virgin shall bear a child, shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's right. We're talking about God with us. And this is so important. John, Brother John, who I trust so amazingly, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, which is the Son, Emmanuel. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the Word of God. And without him was not anything made that was made. In the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, right there in Genesis. And the darkness comprehended it not. He's right there. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through the Messiah might, all men through him might believe. He's the forerunner of Messiah. Look how clear this is. He was not that light. Yeshua is the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. He's the forerunner. That was the true light which lighted every man that comes into the world. Yeshua, the Word of God made flesh, was in the world, and the world was made by him. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
The world was made by this man, God, that the Word of God was in him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, the Jews, and they received him not, and they still don't receive him today, a lot of them. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of God, to even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is John. He knew it too. He was right. He's a witness, John. And he says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Paul tells Timothy, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It is. God's power is beyond us. All we know for sure is God was manifest in the flesh. Okay? Whether they like it or not. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory until he returns one day in someone's lifetime. And I hope you got this, and you could pass this on to people that are being deceived. And if you come across anybody that tries to hit you with this kind of stuff, just tell them your Shem Tov Matthew Hebrew nonsense doesn't cut it. It's really erroneous. It's actually satanic. And it's another deception of Satan. And there's many books out there trying to deceive people. They try to quote all these, you know, these names of these theologians from yesteryear. Make sure you know who Origen is and Eusebius and all these characters. Make sure you know something about Bible versions. And that's what we do at our congregation. And that's why we just become as children. We take it simple. We read the King James Version in English. That's good enough for me. And if you want to read the Masoretic text in Hebrew, that's fine. But we don't go to other sources of Hebrew, you know, external texts that are erroneous. So anyway, I hope this brought something to you today. I have a few things on my website I got to correct, but I'll correct that as soon as I get off. But anyway, I thank you for being here today, and may God always protect us and guard us from, you know, these false doctrines that are flowing, and there's every wind of doctrine out there. Nowadays, there's the Hebrew wind of doctrine flowing everywhere and trying to invite, like, you know, different people to your congregations and your churches just because they speak Hebrew, like that's going to save the world. No, only Yeshua and his shed blood is the atonement for our sins, okay? Anyway, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God. We pray that you'll protect our minds, consciences from any of these perversions. Bless and anoint the rest of this Sabbath. Bless anything we do here today, the food, make it for the nourishment of our bodies, the singing if we do, studies, conversations, let it all be to the glory of the living God. And may God bind every devil and his trickery. He's tricking these Gentiles that are even coming to you, Father. Now they don't even believe you're the Messiah, or they don't believe the Messiah is the Word of God made flesh. They don't believe Yeshua is God in the flesh. There's so many perversions out there in Bibles. I pray that you'll give us the words to try to explain these things to people. And I just thank God today, again, for the blood of Yeshua, the only atonement for our soul, the only atonement for the only sacrifice for forgiveness of sins. And I thank you for eternal life. And we look forward, Father, to being with you one day. And protect everyone in the body of Yeshua, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless you. And this is a ongoing battle, whether you see it or even experience it or not, but it is going on in the world. Shabbat shalom. And let me just save that, and I'll stop the, I got to get this out of here. I'll stop the video. Shabbat shalom. Be aware of all these things. God bless you, and stay in the body of Yeshua. Have any questions, always call me, One of Messiah congregation. You got my phone numbers. Go to oneofmessiah.net. Call me at 615-712-3931 or 615-591-9820. Thank you. You could email us at ministermalachi@comcast.net. And what else can I tell you? Call anytime. God bless you. Shabbat shalom. And I'll stop the audio. God bless everyone.